Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear about resources available to our military families and have a discussion with a recently retired Minnesota National Guard General Officer about conditions in Minnesota during this COVID 2020 year. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
This week marks the anniversary of the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. As Americans, we all share a connection to a day President Roosevelt declared shall live in infamy. But as Minnesotans, we have an additional historic connection. You may not know it, but Minnesotans fired the first American shots in the Pacific Theater of World War II. As war approached, our brave Minnesotans shipped off and became the unit aboard the USS Ward, a World War I era destroyer. A little more than 2 hours before the attack on Pearl, the Ward was on patrol outside the harbor when they saw a small enemy submarine following a supply ship. At 6:45 a.m., the crew fired two shots from her 4-inch gun, sinking the sub. For many years, some doubted whether Ward had really sunk that submarine until 2002, when scientists found the enemy vessel on the bottom of the ocean with 2 4-inch holes through its hull. Today, you can see and touch a piece of our history by visiting the state capitol grounds, where the Ward's gun now resides as a monument to the bravery of those who served aboard.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Retired Brevet Major General David Handler attended dental school at Howard University in Washington, D.C., where he was commissioned as an officer in the Public Health Service, fulfilling a 3-year commitment. He returned to school at the Ohio State University College of Medicine, where he completed his residency in head and neck surgery, and it was during that medical school when he joined the Ohio National Guard. A fellowship in facial plastics and reconstructive surgery brought him to the University of Minnesota, at which point he transferred to the Minnesota Air National Guard, and he recently retired as a brevet 2-star major general. And General Hamler, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's been a while.
Great to see you, sir. And I see that since you retired from the Minnesota Air National Guard, you've joined a couple of boards. You're on the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Board and chair of the Twin Cities Chapter of the Red Cross. Seems like you've always find some extra things to do, General.
Well, you know, it's wanting not to be busy, and I think these are well-deserving organizations to lend your time to. As you know, in the military, it's all about service, and that just continues to this point today. Sometimes we like to say we have time for things, and sometimes we make time for things, and these are organizations worth making time for.
Very good, sir. And occasionally, you get to serve as a team physician for the Wild and a medical consultant for the Gopher Sport Teams, Vikings, and Timberwolves. What a great side gig, General.
Well, as you know, with this year, everything's been a bit hectic, to say the least. And obviously, our hockey didn't go the way we wanted it to. But I think we did a good job in partnering with some organizations, mainly health organizations in town, to keep our players healthy. And the same goes with the Vikings right now. I know the Gophers have been set down on a couple of occasions, but they're all healthy, and we're trying to make sure we do the best by them.
In general, in your medical practice, I've seen you out at the VA hospital, and I understand you're over at the University of Minnesota. And are you still practicing over at Regents as well?
Regions is my home base, so Health Partners pays the bill, so to speak, but part of my mission is to teach and educate. So that's where the University of Minnesota comes in. I'm a faculty advisor, and I teach a couple courses there, and of course you have the residents and the fellows that you help to train so that they can take your job once you're done. It's just like the military. Train your place.
And of course, we see you walking around in your scrubs out at the VA Medical Center once in a while. So you sure make the rounds, General.
Yeah, today's my VA day, so I just left there because the Wi-Fi, although we've had some issues just prior to our meeting today, Wi-Fi is probably not as strong at the VA. So I actually came home to talk to you today.
We're speaking with retired Brevet Major General David Hamler on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, this has been, I call it the lost COVID year. COVID's kind of affected everything that we've done this year. Even today, we're using Team to talk to you on the to record you for the radio today. Can you tell us how has COVID impacted you this year? I imagine it's been a serious, heavy impact.
Definitely, Tom. We, in my profession, in my specific area, it's called ear, nose, and throat. When you look at the particles that are dispersed, and you know you're supposed to be wearing a mask, there's no more highly contagious area than the ear, nose, and throat, especially the nose. So everything we do is fraught with a little air. And now that we've gotten our testing up to date, we're able to at least mitigate some of the problems. But if you remember back in February and March, we really didn't know what we were dealing with. And a lot of my cohorts came down with it. Fortunately, not to the degree that we actually had to stop practice. But there were some things we did in the hospital to help lessen the load, so to speak. But now you see it spiraling, and I don't know what we've done if it had been at that pace back in the early of the year.
Sir, we see in the news every day now that there are some vaccines coming. There's two of them waiting for approval and several more are being developed. Seems to me, sir, that it's more and more important right now to be careful and make sure that we can get from here to the vaccines without catching this virus.
Remember, these vaccines are being released on an emergency trial basis only. In other words, it's going to the most needy. So there's still some lessons to be learned as we start to use these vaccines. I'm old enough to remember back where the H1N1 started with swine flu. And when that occurred, there were some problems with that vaccine. So I'm not telling people to be scared of it, but definitely be wary that there's still some lessons to be learned. At the same time, they've been deemed safe, and as long as the FDA says that, they're going to be safe. So yeah, I'm happy to see they're coming around, but still we need to wear our masks. We need to social distance. We need to make sure if we're going to the hospital, we're going for the right reason. We want to make sure we keep our loved ones in the hospital safe and we're not carrying anything into the hospital that might harm them or the workers who are there.
Sir, once the vaccine gets here and it's a bit more widespread, maybe the end of the first quarter, into the second quarter next year, what do you think the new normal is going to look like?
I think there's always a chance for someone to spread. You know, if you look at what we have vaccines for flu, we have vaccines for measles and mumps and those kinds of things. But yet they still kind of make their way around. I remember a few years ago we had a mumps breakout in the NHL. And lo and behold, we had to try and take care of that. So I think we're going to still have to be wary of our surroundings. We have to make sure that if we're sick, we're not going to spread sickness, that we're going to be a little more attentive to our own health. And then that just tells everybody to be on their game about looking out for other folks. So yeah, I think we are going to have a new normal. That new normal may be a bit more socially distanced. We may do things that are based on whatever CDC guidelines, state guidelines, or hospital guidelines that are there.
Sir, do you think there, if you had to predict it, do you think there might be other pandemics in the future?
Well, they've already got those sort of already labeled. You know, I'm grateful that we're able to come up with a vaccine for this, but there are things in the past that I thought we would have been able to come up with some vaccines or some help for, like Ebola, you know, obviously HIV, we don't have a cure for that yet. So there's things that are around the corner that we don't know about. So we're going to always have to leave our tentacles sort of in the air to make sure we're doing the best we can to ward those off. I can't say it would be 100% foolproof, but if something does strike, we have to have the forces and resources to mobilize to combat it.
Thank you, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Brevet Retired Major General David Hamler on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. The DAV Foundation of Minnesota is dedicated to helping veterans throughout the state gain access to programs, services, and projects that fulfill the promises made to our men and women who have served. Enabled by generous corporate, individual, and estate bequeath donations, the foundation provides grants to organizations that deliver direct assistance to service-connected disabled veterans. To learn more, visit DAVMNFoundation.org. That's DAVMNFoundation.org. Are you a current or former member of the military? Do you need help finding work? Rear Force is here to help you. Whether you served on active duty, in the National Guard, or Reserves, you're eligible for no-cost, priority Career Force employment services. Military veterans get individual career counseling, job search support, and help exploring education and training opportunities, and more. Find out more at careerforcemn.com/veterans-resources. That's careerforcemn.com/veterans-resources. You served our country. Now let us serve you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with retired Brevet Major David Hamler, who is also a doctor and works out at does some work with the VA Medical Center and the University of Minnesota and the Regents, serves on the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and is chair of the Twin Cities chapter of the Red Cross, and also is team physician for the Minnesota Wild and medical consultant for the Gophers, Vikings, and Timberwolves. Sir, I understand that during your career with the Minnesota National Guard that you had the honor of being the first African-American general officer. That must have been quite an honor, sir.
It was. And what I told then Major General Nash is, it's great to be the first, but you don't want to be the last. So I think I spent a lot of my time at least mentoring and trying to find a way to increase, or as we say, open that aperture so more people deserving can walk through the door.
Well, sir, that's a great honor. And one of the things I just mentioned was that you're chair of the Twin Cities chapter of the Red Cross. And, sir, I've heard that there's a blood shortage during this COVID-19 year. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. But before I get into that, my co-chair is Major General Joanne Clyborn. So we haven't gone very far from the military to make sure we have the leadership we need there. So I congratulate her on her efforts as well. But if you think about it, if you look at blood donations, they're usually either in a van, a bus, or a building of opportunity. And during COVID, we had restrictions in terms of spacing. So that eliminated those venues. So we had to go to larger venues, and luckily we were able to find some, one of which was the Minnesota Wild. We went to the Minnesota Wild with their leadership. We were able to secure the Excel Center. And indeed, we'd have a socially distanced blood drive. But the point is that with the shutdown of many of the regular blood drives, we are in extreme shortage of blood. Minnesota's had the reputation for not only supplying our area, but also supplying a lot of areas around the country. The philanthropy, the the service-related interest that Minnesotans capture and share goes almost worldwide. So, yeah, we're one of the larger procurers of blood. But, yeah, there is a shortage. It remains to this day, particularly type O, which is, you know, you think about universal donation. Type O is in very much of a need right now. Sickle cell is something that happens, and it's mainly within the black community. And there's shortages of blood for people who need to be serviced because of their sickle cell disease. So we're really looking for donors there as well.
So for our listeners, if you go to the Minnesota Red Cross, they have calendars there and locations where you can go and donate your blood, and they know how to do it safely. Mm-hmm. Correct, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, Tom, we are actually partnering with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation as well. There are a lot of companies within that network who have agreed in the past and will in the future to provide venues as well as personnel to donate blood. So we're working strong and hard with our Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with retired Brevet Major General David Hamler in Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, we've talked often on the show about the Minnesota National Guard as a federal and state role, and on their state missions. The Guard has been called up to support law enforcement here in Minnesota this year during some protests, and some protests that unfortunately turned into riots. What has that civil unrest meant to you, sir?
Well, I've lived this before. I'm of an elder statesman status, and I remember back in the 60s and then in the 80s, and this seems to go around. And one of the causes for it is just our misunderstanding. Of course, there's going to be differences of opinion, but when those differences of opinion start looking toward violence, and that's where we have to draw the line. So I really applaud our men and women in uniform who went out on the front lines to help in those efforts. And you notice that, and nothing away from our other police and state troopers, but when our guard is out there, I saw several occasions when they, you know, not taking the helmet off unwittingly, but actually sat and talked to people. And you see how that one-on-one discussion really fostered some advancement. So that's what we have to get back to. I think we need to have those discussions at all levels, open it up, and don't point fingers and cast doubt. But I think that's where we have to go with this.
Sir, you've spent many years in the military, and here in Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard has been working on diversity for as long as we've been on the air, the last 10 years, probably longer. What have you heard about diversity and equity efforts in the military, and does that inform your thinking about what needs to be done in society to settle things down?
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, we have a leader here at the state level who has taken a federal position with especially the National Guard, and that's General Sandy Bess. So General Bess is the identified person for the National Guard who has been working on diversity and equity and how we do that, at least through the National Guard specifically. She works out of here, out of Minnesota, of course, but collaborates with Guard units around the country as well as at the Pentagon level. So she is working with our National Guard director and helping to foster those things, at least on the military side. And that being a guard position, of course, she relates it right here back at home in Minnesota into our community. So I think we have some good collaboration with our military. And for me specifically, it gives me something to point to. So if I'm at the university, if I'm at another institution, I'm at another job, I can say the military has made some success out of that. I remember when I first started, I think our if you looked at all comers from a diverse standpoint, we're probably 4-5%. And I know General Nash was part of it, as was General Jensen, and now General Mankey, is that we're going to keep improving that that statistic. And I think we're somewhere up to 17-20% now.
In general, I understand the second part of that is inclusion. You not only want them there, but you want them included and active.
Yeah. You know, we use names and topics all the time, and when you say diversity, I always wonder if people are getting burnt out on that, and that's where inclusion comes in. To be inclusive doesn't say a particular race, ethnicity, or anything like that. It's for all people to be included, and I think in the military we can, you know, almost order you to do this and do that, but there has to be a grassroots uptake of the philosophy of the need for inclusion. I think in the business sector, you see companies do better if they're inclusive. I think from a military standpoint, we see we do better if we're inclusive. So it's a win-win situation if we do that. And all it is understanding and knowing that that you can gain some, there's some, not profit per se, but that you can gain from associating with people other than yourself.
Well, sir, I certainly hope that we can find ways to work through these situations and get people to talk to each other and cooperate and work together in civilian life like we try to do in the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the areas that I'm working in right now is healthcare disparity. You know, we think we have great healthcare in Minnesota, which I think we do, but it's just not cast broadly. So if you look at the ratio of disparate care here in Minnesota versus anywhere else in the country, we're one of the worst. So we're actually having a CEO roundtable coming up with a lot of our hospitals coming up. And that's through some other organizations in town, one of which is a fraternity I belong to, and some of which is some of the hospital organizations. We're going to see at the CEO level what we can do to help, you know, correct some of those disparities, and not that it's trickle down, but see how we can, from a implementation standpoint, help direct the improvement of those numbers.
Very good, sir. General, we've just got about 30 seconds left. Are there any other issues or any final thoughts for our listeners today?
You know, I would just say with everything that's going on with this year, as much as we've been dealt, I still see, you know, some smiles on people's faces. I still see people who want to share and give, and one of which we were talking about earlier, Yellow Ribbon, which is one of those organizations that just is to help our troops, and not only home but when abroad. The Red Cross, from Rotary to everything else. And your show yourself, Tom, how you shared a message. And I think if we can at least get a glimmer of hope going into the new year, I think that'll go a long way to help us with our efforts. So I just want to see people that, you know, the glass is half full or half empty. It's, to me, it's always half full. So I think we ought to look at the bright side on some of these things, despite what we've been dealt.
Great thoughts for 2021, sir. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we'll look forward to talking to you sometime in the near future.
Thanks, Tom. Anytime.
That was retired Brevet Major General David Hamler on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to hear about resources available for our military families. Xcel Energy is dedicated to providing 100% carbon-free energy by 2050, but we can't do it alone. Join Xcel Energy and you'll find a purpose-driven career, solid job security, and challenging work. Xcel Energy knows the value your military service brings to the workplace. It's an exciting time to be in the energy industry. Whether you're on active duty, transitioning, or already embarking on your civilian career, learn about the opportunities with one of America's leading utilities, Xcel Energy. Visit jobs.xcelenergy.com. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about some resources available for military families. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Minnesota has a unique team of organizations who collaborate together to find and house homeless veterans. A key tool for these organizations is the Minnesota Homeless Veteran Registry, which helps these organizations to assist veterans who are experiencing homelessness and need access to stable housing. Participation is voluntary for veterans, and anyone can refer a veteran to join. For more information and to access referral forms, please visit Minnesota Homeless Veterans Registry page at minnesotaveteran.org. Ending veterans homelessness is a focus for Governor Walz and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I am proud of the progress the team has made, but I won't be satisfied till we're able to declare the end of veteran homelessness statewide. Anyone who knows a homeless veteran can call 1-888-LINK-VET. That's 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to learn about some resources available for military families. And joining me now is Marion Belinsky, the State Family Programs Director, and Jackie Rossen, Lead Soldier and Family Readiness Specialist. Marion and Jackie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Marion, I want to start with you. The last time I talked to you, it was in the capacity as an officer of the Minnesota National Guard. And I understand you're a major now.
That is true. I am still serving. You probably talked to me prior to my second deployment, but I am back in family programs now and really enjoying it. For those of you who have heard me talk before, it's been a journey, especially with having so many positions being contracted positions. So I am very excited to be here today to let everyone know we finally were able to have the contracted position transitioned into federal employees. So what that means for the state of Minnesota within family programs is we now have steady state resources that are not subject to contracting up and downs and fluctuations and different companies holding the contract. So now we have a steady state resource for military families. So we are so excited about that. Primary focus is ensuring those families are being taken care of, especially during this troubling time of COVID and the holidays. So I'm just very excited about that. So thank you for having us on, Tom.
Thank you, ma'am. And Jackie, I understand you spent some time in the Army.
I did spend some time in the Army. Thanks for asking. I did about 25 years in the military in uniform myself, and then I transitioned over to the civilian sector about 4 years ago. And I've been serving mostly with the Army Reserve in either as a reservist or AGR. Then I started as a Department of the Army civilian with family programs as the coordinator in Washington State and moved here roughly around July, taking on the lead soldier and military, lead soldier and family military specialist position here.
And Jackie, that was over the past dozen or so years, that was easier to say. It used to be the family assistance centers. But, of course, when they moved.
Yeah. Soldier and when they moved them. Readiness specialist. Yeah. Well, we all, every once in a while, we all get tongue-tied with it when we say it. Because it's a wonderful program, but it is the combination of two that we've been so familiar with saying for years and years. So at a glance, every once in a while, we all stumble through it.
We'll get used to it. We'll get used to it. Marion, can you tell us a little more about Minnesota National Guard's family programs? What kind of resources are available?
Absolutely, I can. So like Jackie was talking about, we used to have the two different programs, which is the Family Readiness Support Assistance, which were honestly very specific to the commanders. We still maintain that tie and the link to all of the commanders, and then we also oversee all the family assistance centers throughout the state. So the new position with the Family Readiness Specialist, we are basically combining those two. There's really no loss of services. We're still overseeing and meeting the needs of the families. Family programs as a whole still oversees child and youth services, family readiness, Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program, Military One Source, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, Building Healthy Military Communities, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. So we try to ensure that the soldier is taken care of in a holistic manner, and also to ensure that the resources we're providing them are valuable resources that have been vetted, and that we also conduct the follow-up to make sure that they are getting the care that they requested in the way that they requested, and that it was a good fit with the resource that we provided. Otherwise, we would absolutely try to find them a new resource if that was not the case. But, yeah, that is what we have been doing here at Family Programs. So,
thank you. We're speaking with Marion Belinsky and Jackie Rossin on Minnesota Military Radio. Jackie, Marion gave us quite a list of resources, a long list of resources. But I understand that if a military family has some kind of issue and they need some help, and then they call you, and you're supposed to know where all those resources are. Can you tell us how that works?
Okay. Well, it works in a variety of ways, but number one is if an outside resource or an organization wants to provide something or has something new to their organization, they would reach out to us. So as the lead, my name and number is out anytime we have a chance to talk. And from that point, we then introduce the 14 locations that we now have with soldier and family readiness specialists sitting usually at an armory, and we have them all over the place. We have at least five in the metro area, one in the south central, one in southwest, one in southeast. We have the central piece location covered, one on the west coast, at least two in the central and one on the east, and then your north end of Minnesota, we have at least one way up in the west side in Moorhead, a couple at Camp Ripley, and then one off to the east in Duluth. So we have full coverage of the state, so we can point out any organization or any support that pops up for our soldiers and families, anything that's new. We get that information to one of our team.
Yep. Ladies, and once the team members receive that information, then they'll case manage it to completion by referring to the resources and then the follow-up.
Right.
Ladies, we just got about a minute and a half left in this segment, but Marion, can you tell me, you must go to some events, you must do some things to make sure that all of our soldiers and airmen in Minnesota are aware that you're there to help.
Absolutely. We have a multitude of categories of soldiers. We have a lot of our RSPs, so that is our readiness, our recruit sustainment program. And so making sure that we are connecting with those soldiers when they very first join. And then for the enlisted, we have the junior enlisted, making sure that they know and are connecting with us right away when they join into the program, so they know that if there's any issues that come up, they know where to go. Senior enlisted, we provide training for like their FRG support and the family outreach there. And then, of course, officers and warrant officers receive that same training. Then during deployment, we conduct outreach calls to each of their family members, and they can each soldier can list as many family members as they want, because we know everybody's family situation is very unique. And we want to make sure that the families know that they're still being supported regardless of the loved one being away.
Very good, ladies. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Marion Belinsky and Jackie Rossin about resources available to our military families. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. The DAV of Minnesota Transportation Program leads the nation by providing rides to nearly 25,000 veterans per year with the efforts of volunteer drivers all across the state. The DAV of Minnesota, working with our county veteran service officers, provides veterans with reliable transportation to and from VA medical appointments at no cost to the veterans. You can help our veterans by volunteering with the DAV of Minnesota Transportation Program. There's a need for volunteer drivers all across the state. Contact davmn.org. That's davmn.org. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Marion Belinsky, State Family Programs Director, and Jackie Rossin, Lead Soldier and Family Readiness Specialist. And Marion, could you tell us again quickly, the State Family Programs, what all does that cover?
It encompasses basically the holistic approach to the service member. So we basically connect them with the whole family approach, and we work primarily with the spouses and the children. So connecting them with the social, physical, behavioral, economic resources that they could need. One of the things that we've identified specifically within the COVID environment is the educational outreach to the military-connected kids, and sending out some of those resilience toolkits for parents, because of the stress that's going along with the schooling at home. So that's been one of the areas where we've really been focusing a lot of resource and outreach. Another area that we've been doing is around the deployment support and making sure that the soldiers have the resources in their hands prior to deployment, since we're not able to actually meet with the soldiers face-to-face, but getting those toolkits out to them so they know those resources, and making sure that we are interfacing with the families directly through our calling, while they're deployed, and then the follow-up, making sure that they are also, some of those parents need to remember they need to take care of themselves too during this difficult time, because some of them are being so focused on making sure their kids are getting their online schooling complete, making sure their loved one who is away is getting what he or she needs overseas. So it's just basically maintaining that balance and keeping everybody strong and resilient and moving forward.
Very good. Thank you, Marion. Jackie, I want to talk to you about, can you give us an example if we've got a military family that's out in a unit, say, of northern Minnesota, maybe have talked to the family readiness person in their unit, but they need some help, and they reach out to you, say they've got a financial emergency of some kind. Can you walk us through the process? What do they have to do to get help?
Oh, sure. Well, the first thing is to say they need some help. You know, we don't know unless they let us know they need help. So we try to make it very comfortable for them to go ahead and ask for that help. And what we have are great specialists out there who know, who can provide some financial assistance. And one of the number one ways is to use our MMFF grants. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation is a wonderful organization that offers financial assistance to our soldiers and their families, and they are extremely gracious. And what they do is one of our specialists, if they find out a soldier needs something, there is some paperwork. They just ask what the specifics are so that we know what to provide the foundation so that they can look at it and make sure that it falls under the regulatory guidelines for their grants. And then it is actually a very quick process, and they will pretty much write a check and pay for the support that the soldier needs if it's a whatever their charge is that they're trying to get some support financially for. The foundation will pay right to that organization that they need that money to.
Now, Jackie, I've been in the military, and we've been on the air now for 10 years, but your soldiers and airmen in Minnesota are very proud families, and we're having a tough COVID-19 year. How do you make them comfortable enough to step up and say, I need some help? And how do you deal with that? Because they're proud families.
Sure. Oh, yeah, and a lot of us have served ourselves. So sometimes we'll share our own personal experiences and what we've had to do and how we have made it through and having the opportunity to be able to ask for financial assistance and then have that financial assistance available. Because I'll tell you, being one that has been in other states, wonderful organizations like MMFF aren't out there for everyone in Washington specifically. I could tell you it'd be a whole different, discovery period trying to find some financial support. But because you have such a wonderful grant here in Minnesota, and I think some other states outlining Minnesota, it is something that our specialists make sure our soldiers know, failing your family isn't fun, but the way not to fail is to ask for some help. And sometimes what we do is soldiers who have gone through and asked for a grant and received it, we ask them to speak also, and say how it helped them, get back on their feet and help their family become more self-reliant, self-resilient, especially during the periods of active duty that we're seeing more and more of in an increased state active duty for the Minnesota National Guard soldiers. So, the best thing you can do is open up and say, yes, I'll take some help. And, yes, we know that we always push self-reliance, self-sufficiency, self-supported, but we also say be smart and ask for some help because we have it. We work so hard to try to find good resources that are valuable and those that our soldiers can take that are specifically for soldiers. So the best thing they can do is take them. Otherwise, sometimes those resources go away.
One of the tricks we'll use during our Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program is be like, this resource may not necessarily be for you, but you as a leader may have a soldier who needs this resource. So know the resources. Mm-hmm. So even if your family doesn't necessarily need to know it, that you can assist your soldiers when they are in a time of challenge.
That's true. Sure.
Very good, ladies. We're out of time. You do sound both so exciting. I'm glad you're in those positions and taking care of our soldiers and airmen. And thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
It was Marion Belinsky and Jackie Rossin from the State Family Programs and the Lead Soldier and Family Readiness Specialists. Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader of the Minnesota National Guard, reports to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Great show so far. I've been listening in, and I got to say it's been very impressive.
Sergeant Major, we've had a really busy year. I've heard it's over 100 missions. You've got the federal and state duties, and this year with a lot of things going on, including the COVID, you've had a lot of your troops called up to state active duty, and I understand right now there's quite a few of them called up to help with the COVID issues.
That's correct. I guess we took a look at this, General Jensen had taken a look at this as more of a marathon, and I guess that's what he was kind of advising the governor regarding how to employ, the Minnesota National Guard. And right now, based off of that, we have over 600 soldiers and airmen on state active duty. We have service members at 16 community-based testing locations. And additionally, we have service members at 7 long-term care facilities. So, right now it's been pretty interesting for us as a state. Over.
Sergeant Major, I understand that you're using some of your armories as testing facilities as well.
We are. We have over 63 locations in the state, and right now we're utilizing a percentage of those, where other facilities aren't available. And it just gives that ability to have that no-barrier testing for the communities that they're in.
And Sergeant Major, I heard that the service members helping in the long-term care facilities had to do a little special training to go out there to kind of help whatever nursing assistants are out in those facilities expand what they can get done in the limited amount of time.
Absolutely. General Mankey said every state with a green sign, or I'm sorry, every city within the state that has a green sign in front of it essentially has a long-term care facility. I believe there's over 2,100. And so our soldiers, you know, and that number of them, I guess, got to the crisis point where we've had to actually augment their staff with National Guardsmen. And, you know, we only have so many trained medical professionals within the Guard, and a lot of them actually serve in their communities in the civilian sector. So we've actually had to utilize other individuals to do those kind of CNA-type activities within the long-term care facilities. So, yes, they did end up having to do some training, and we did up at Camp Ripley to get them prepared for that.
Great to see our soldiers and airmen out there helping their friends and neighbors and relatives. Sergeant Major, one casualty this year, again, is the longstanding Norwegian Exchange.
That's correct. It would have been our 48th annual exchange between our services, and unfortunately, due to COVID, we've had to cancel it. So, fingers crossed, and 22, we'll get back onto that cycle again where we can have exchanges, which would be our 49th between the two countries.
I hope we get back to that next year. And Sergeant Major, I understand that one of your units is going to be helping the new U.S. Space Command.
Yeah, it's very exciting, right? We've got the 210th Engineering Installation Squadron, which is part of the 133rd Airlift Wing. They're selected to be the lead unit to provide communications design, programming, and installations for the U.S. Space Command. So it's a pretty big deal, you know, for a squadron out of Minnesota to be part of that expansion for those capabilities.
Yeah, there'll be some fun reports coming back from those missions. It'll be fun to see what they have to say. Sir, we just got about a minute and a half. We just got about a minute and a half left, but I understand that the tag, you know, the Adjutant General, and you honored some Air National Guard recruiters.
Absolutely. They are doing a fantastic job, and I'd just like to mention the three. So we had Technical Sergeant Nicole Huesner of the 133rd Air Wing. She was a Rookie Recruiter of the Year, and it was very impressive. She did 60% above what her assigned goal was for the year 2020. Next is Master Sergeant Amanda Robbins of the 148th. Fighter Wing, and she's being recognized as the retention manager. In addition to that, she revitalized some programs such as the Newcomer's Brief and the Unit Career Advisor Programming. And then finally, we've got Technical Sergeant Jeff Sprick of the 133rd Airlift Wing, and he is being recognized as the production recruiter. And not only that, as the top production recruiter, he's also the top diversity sessions recruiter. And he's going to continue on to compete for the Region 4 Top Accessions Award. So he's doing a bang-up job. They've all been doing a fantastic job on the air side, making sure our wings are full.
Very good, Sergeant Major. I hope that all your soldiers and airmen stay safe until we get the vaccine to cure up this COVID problem. And always glad to talk to you on the radio, sir.
Absolutely. It's been a treat. You know, and I would say for the Red Cross donations, there's an easy app to download for that General Hamler was talking about. It's just essentially blood donor app. And a bonus, if you give blood right now, they actually do COVID testing to see if you have the antibodies. But thanks again, Tom.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. I was a senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Retired Brevet Major General David Hamler, Major Marion Belinsky, Jackie Rossin, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we'll meet a local former sailor turned singer and learn about a new device to help with PTSD. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.